Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russin
Rocky.
Other names. Trade addicts pie. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Sean Foss, and I have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Session 388 of the TradeX Podcast. Proud, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. And yeah, I'm a little rusty. It's been a couple weeks. Before we get to our wonderful guest, Rocky and I do not hate each other. It's just been very funny that we haven't lined up in like 3 weeks. So we will be back together next week. But we don't need Rocky right now, because there are a lot of duos in Chicago history. There's Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. There's Kane and Taze, Urlacher and Briggs. But we have the best one right here. We have Frank in the chat and our guest tonight, Sean Foss. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight, Frank?
Good, good. Thanks for so much for coming on. Before we get into everything, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, so again, Sean Foss, basically, this year I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus, so not a lot of new content coming out. But in years past, I've written a weekly rookie report column on drink5.com. Every week, breaking down the matchups basically that each rookie has, basically categorizing them as guys that you already know you should start, guys you know you should sit, and then borderline guys I'd lean towards starting and sitting, and then, you know, deep league sleepers that you may not be thinking of. Basically, keeping track of the rookies that you're not paying attention to, the guys that, you know, are getting 10 snaps a week to see when they're kind of going up, going down, getting more involved, those kind of things. So again, this year taking a little hiatus, but when I'm writing, that's been the content that I've done in years past.
Very nice. And so what are your socials for anyone who wants to find you? Oh,
very straightforward. Just at @Sean_Foss on X, or just at Sean Foss on Blue Sky.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So we do a little interview for first time guests. So how long have you been playing fantasy for?
Fantasy football since high school. So for me, that would have been like somewhere around 99, 2000.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
And then how long have you been playing Dynasty?
My longest running Dynasty league is the first one I was ever in. And that one is in, I think, year 13 or 14.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
In that span, what are some of the best trades you've made?
So, one that I've always like kind of circled as my favorite, but I kind of look back today and it's not as good as I remember it because of what a draft pick turned into. But it was back in 2017, I traded away Tariq Cohen. This was like, I think his rookie year.
When Bears legend.
Having a little bit of a breakout. Tariq Cohen, Willie Snead, and a second round draft pick for DeAndre Hopkins going into his four straight seasons of wide receiver one production.
Nice.
I thought it was a great trade until I looked into it deeper again today, just you remembering it. And that second round pick turned into Lamar Jackson.
Ouch.
And that made it, that changed it a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, you still got Hopkins out of it. So
sure. But the other one I'll circle, this one's kind of a funnier one just because of the circumstances. The first year of that long running dynasty league that's been going for 13 years, it was my first dynasty league. I didn't pay any attention to bye weeks in the draft, right? I mean, because dynasty, you had these guys forever. My top five wide receivers all had the exact same bye week that first year. And so to try and get around it, I traded one of those receivers away. The receiver I traded was Justin Blackmon. And I traded him for Brandon LaFell and a second round pick that turned into Jeremy Hill. But Justin Blackmon only played one more NFL game after that trade.
Yeah. And where was LaFell at the time? Carolina, probably?
Yeah, LaFell was with the Panthers at the time, and okay. I had to plug him in, and I won that week by less than LaFell scored the week that all those guys were running by.
There we
and
go.
And I won my division by one game.
Yeah. These are usually a little easier to remember. What are the worst trades you've made?
The worst one I ever made was basically trading away Justin Jefferson for pennies on the dollar. Before he ever played an NFL game. I was of the mindset that he looked like he was a slot receiver. That's all he played really at LSU. And he went to a team that didn't use three wide receiver sets, the Vikings. And so I drafted him in the second round, and there was just enough of a voice in the back of my head saying he might not play as much as you think he is. And so I ended up trading him away for a second round pick and Herb Smith. I had just recently traded away Darren Waller. And so I'm like, let me replenish the tight end spot. Yeah. And looking down, I'm like, this is the worst trade I could have possibly ever made. Justin Jefferson turned out to be a megastar. Herb Smith flamed out that year, I think.
He was coming literally. He got hurt, I think. Yep.
Yeah. He was coming off of a pretty strong year where he scored maybe 7 or 8 touchdowns or something the year before, and he just flamed out hard. And the draft pick I got back turned into Terrace Marshall or somebody who didn't do anything.
That's like the all hype team, Herb Smith and Terrace Marshall. That's funny.
So that's certainly my worst. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what's a guiding principle you have in trading?
So it's funny, at the top, I mentioned that I have a trading problem, and my problem is probably that I don't trade enough. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am, I tend to play the long game rather than try to drastically make changes, like blow up a team that's struggling or go all in on a team that's doing well, and trade away all of my future picks to improve. Yep. I'll make moves here and there to plug holes, or just if I want to reallocate, if I'm super strong at one position and weak at another, might just try to balance the team out. But I play the long game and don't really, I'm not really trying to blow a team up or go mm-hmm. into full rebuilds. I'm trying to stay competitive the whole time.
Yeah, no, and I think that's interesting, and we'll get to it when we get to the trades. We get to this point in the season where people are starting to make those decisions, and you'll see a lot of picks and a lot of big players traded in, especially in TA8, where the contenders are starting to show themselves. So before we get into that, we have news. The way I kind of categorize the news this week is it could have been a lot worse. When we left Sunday, we thought, Puka was going to be out a while and Ibuka was going to be out a while. They might still be, but we'll get into it. The Bucks. There's a lot of news on the Bucks. So Ibuka, obviously, he's the big one. He has a hamstring injury. He's expected to miss some time. Bucky and Godwin are already ruled out for Week 7 against Detroit, and they, I think, expect Evans to come back, or hope. I put hope just to be conservative, but I think they expect Evans to be back. So, Sean, first off, do you have Ibuka shares, and are you the happiest person on earth right now? Or
if not,
what are you doing with it?
I have lots of Ibuka shares, not so much in Dynasty, but across my redraft leagues. I've got him in most of my redraft leagues. Nice. So him getting hurt was a little alarming. But I'm glad it's something minimal and short term, because most of the teams with him are obviously off to a pretty good start. So I do have shares of him and of Puka, but both really it's more on the redraft side than in Dynasty that I've got shares of those guys. So very happy that both are kind of coming.
What are you doing in places where you have a Puka? Are you just holding, throw him on the bench?
Yeah, I think,
see what
I
happens.
Think
or are you trying to buy? What are you doing with him?
For the most part, I'm holding. There is one specific redraft team where I've got him that I might look to move a receiver, just because I was very deep at the position I have. So coming in, it's a team where I'm getting Rashi Rice back. Mm-hmm. I'm already off to a 6-0 start, and my other receivers on that team are Puka and JSN, and I think I have one other. I had Malik Nabers, and he got hurt, obviously. But that's a pretty loaded one for a 12-team league. But Stephon, I had another receiver in there too, but it's just a really deep group, and I might trade a receiver to get stronger at running back or something, but nothing, firm on that. Like I said, Ibuka is going to be back, and having the flexibility of being that deep at receiver is nice, but, I have enough that I still, even after losing Nabers, can still probably afford to trade one of those guys when Rice comes back.
Yep. Are you buying Evans with him coming back, or do you think you missed the window because now everyone sees he's probably healthy and the most healthy of the Bucs wide receivers?
Yeah, I think you definitely miss out on getting a discount that you would have got a week or two ago. You know, I think that Evans is obviously going to step into a wide receiver one role, certainly while Ibuka's out and while Godwin is out. And the Godwin injury is kind of troubling just because they've already ruled him out for another week. Makes it seem like that injury from last year is not quite right yet.
Yep.
So that could turn into a longer term thing. And so, yeah, I'd be happy to have Evans, but I think you missed a window to get a discount on him. I think teams, other fantasy managers are seeing that the Bucs wide receiver room is suddenly wide open again for Evans to walk back in to be number one for the time being, at least
get back to 1,000 yards.
Yeah. I mean, Baker's going to truck the ball down the field.
Absolutely. Especially against Detroit. That's going to be a fun game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that secondary in Detroit is still pretty beat up.
Yep. Like I said, Puka ankle sprain, he's going to miss some time. They have a week 8 bye along with like every other team in the NFL. So beware by NATO next week, but he's probably out this week. We'll see where he is when we come back. Kyler Murray has a version of a Liz Frank injury, which is not great.
Never good to hear that word.
No. And what have you been doing with Kyler? Dynasty, redraft, whichever one. He's been underperforming, but the running backs haven't been very good. So in theory, he should rush, but he's been out. So what are you doing with Kyler?
I mean, I think you really have to hold. I don't think you're going to get what you in your, I mean, if you have him on your team, you're probably not going to get what you think he's worth in a trade. Mm-hmm. So I think you probably have to hold on to him. Hope that you maybe were able to scoop Jacoby Brissett or had him, you know, stashed, but, or at least had enough depth at the QB position to be able to kind of cover for it while he's out. But yeah, I don't know that you're going to get fair trade value for him if you try to move him.
Right.
Might be an opportunity to buy while he's out. But again, with Liz Frank, you don't know how long it's going to be.
Right. And I think the people who have Kyler, especially in Dynasty, we're a big Kyler podcast. I don't think you're getting rid of him for what people are going to offer you. So you're probably stuck. And yeah, if someone's panicking, go get him. But I think it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I think it doesn't look great for Kyler when in one game, Jacoby Brissett had 100 passing yards more than Kyler's had in any individual game this season. Right.
That's crazy. Garrett Wilson MRI appears to have avoided serious injury. He will still likely miss time, which sucks because they have the Panthers and the Bengals and then a bye. He has like his two best matchups and he's not going to play for it. downgrade Justin Fields for that probably, but they're probably going to run like crazy.
That passing game is going to be pretty gross anyway, regardless, even when Wilson's healthy, it's still fairly gross. I mean, maybe if you needed a desperation dart throw to get through some of these buys, maybe Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
Mason Taylor's probably startable, but beyond him, it's pretty gross.
Brees is going to catch 5 passes probably now, and that's going to be great. So the good news now, Rashee Rice's suspension is over. Over under 10.5 targets in his first game back. They play Vegas.
10's a big number for the first game. I would say under, but I do think 8 to 10 is probably where I'd put him. 10.5 is just above where I would bet them over.
I say 10.5 a little tongue in cheek. I think Mahomes has missed him, but yeah, I think it's going to be up there.
I mean, with Worthy getting hurt, that he just wasn't able to, really establish himself as a real threat to the wide receiver one role for Rashee, right? Has the injury to Xavier Worthy has really kind of prevented him from kind of being that competition for Rice's number one role. You know what I mean? Yep. He could have established himself as a bigger part of the offense while Rice was out, but then he got hurt himself. And so I think Rice steps right back into the wide receiver one role when he comes back this week.
Agreed. Steelers are looking to trade for a wide receiver. Is there anyone on your wish list for putting on the Steelers?
This is going to sound, I saw somebody else mention this and it really kind of sounded like the perfect Steelers wide receiver. Adonai Mitchell is one that I think would be a really interesting fit because he's got first round talent. Like he's got a ton of talent. Obviously he's on the outs in Indy because of some boneheaded decisions in a game recently. Yep. He was a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks, I think, as a result of him dropping the ball at the goal line and then having a holding penalty cost them pretty badly a couple weeks ago. And I think just a change of scenery would do him some good, and the discipline of Mike Tomlin would do him some good. I think he just would be a really good fit for him there. I mean, some other ones, I don't think you're going to get like a true like wide receiver one, wide receiver two type, you know, if you're the Steelers. You're going to be kind of working along the fringes. I think there's some veteran players who are being underused, like maybe Adam Thielen in Minnesota now that Jordan Addison is back. You know, a player like that. I know it's not an exciting name if you're a Steelers fan, but I think those are the kind of guys that they're probably going to look at, you know, if they are going to make a move and add a receiver.
I was thinking about Keenan Allen because he's been down the last couple of weeks as McConkey's picked his game up, but I don't know if the Chargers would get rid of him. I agree with you. I don't think like AJ Brown's going to Pittsburgh.
No,
and that's one of like the rumored guys who could be on the move, and I'm not picturing Pittsburgh for him.
Right. Juwan Jennings maybe as upset as he seems to be in San Francisco might be a fit, but their wide receiver group is so beat up, and they're still trying to compete, right?
Yes, Mr. Five Broken Ribs himself. Mm-hmm. And then the Titans fired Brian Callahan. Mike McCoy is going to be the interim. Obviously, Cam Ward is not Phillip Rivers, but just for context, Phillip Rivers threw for over 4,000 yards and had over 540 passing attempts every year McCoy was the head coach of the Chargers. So Titans are going to sling it.
And, so to add to the Phillip Rivers context, Phillip Rivers threw for over 4,000 yards in 12 out of 13 years at one point in his career. So yes. I'm not sure Mike McCoy is the reason he was.
Yes, 4,000 agreed. Yards.
And the 540 attempts at one stretch, it was 8 out of 9 years. So like he absolutely like every offense Phillip Rivers was in played that way. McCoy comes from the same tree as like Frank Reich and Peterson, coach of Jacksonville and Philly, Doug Peterson. And so I'd expect the offense to run kind of similarly to those, but obviously with Cam Ward, it's still a learning experience and the talent around him is not great. The one thing I'll say though, with that coaching tree is you usually will see, you know, a split backfield where you have very defined roles for your early down back and your receiving back. So you might see more of that kind of split with Pollard and Tyjae Spears going forward. Obviously we haven't seen that cause Tyjae's been out. But I think that's one kind of interesting nuance of bringing in McCoy is you may see more of Spears take on that really well-defined receiving role in Pollard, the early down guy.
Yep. Agreed. All right. I say season minor news. I'll just burn through all of it. JJ McCarthy is going to practice in some capacity this week. They have the Eagles this week. I kind of hope Wentz plays just for revenge game narrative. Ravens expect Lamar will be back after the bye. We kind of expected that. Kittle is expected to return this week. Lamb could return this week. If you believe Jarrah, he's definitely coming back this week. Marvin Harrison has a concussion. They have the Packers and then a bye. So I'm guessing he's out this week. We'll circle back to Marion Hampton and, David Njoku has a knee injury, not believed to be anything serious. If he does miss time, however, Fannin's a top eight tight end conservatively, as long as Gabriel's the starter, cause I think he's going to get double digit targets. Is there anything you want to cover on that before we get to Hampton?
No, I think you, you hit the key points there. I agree. Okay. I'm a big fan of Harold Fannin. I've got him in a lot of leagues.
Yes, me too. All right. Marion Hampton. So they covered it on the pod last week. But now we kind of have an idea. Are you believing the Vidal hype, or do you think that was one game? It was against Miami and let's just be done with it for now. It was Miami, right? Did I confuse the weeks?
It was Miami last week. I think that, I think with Vidal, though, we at least know he's the lead back, right? It's not like him and Haskins are really in a timeshare or a split backfield. It's Haskins is the change of pace guy who's going to get a handful of touches, but it's Vidal's backfield.
Yep.
And yes, it was a great matchup. That's the biggest reason why Vidal blew up the way that he did. But the matchups coming up aren't that much worse. So like their next three opponents are all outside the top 20 in run defense DVOA. Mm-hmm. And only the mid half PPR scoring, only the Colts of their next three opponents are not in the bottom 12 in points allowed to running backs So he still has good matchups coming up. The Chargers offense is still competent. And I think until Joe Alt comes back and they feel more comfortable in the drop back passing game that they can protect Justin Herbert, yep. I think you're going to continue to see them be more balanced than they were early in the year and lean more on the run. So I think there's definitely upside the next few weeks for Vidal. If you got him on waivers, I say hold on to him and keep playing in these next few weeks, yeah. Unless you know you have obvious studs that you're starting ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm starting him in a couple on bye week weeks this week, but it's interesting, and I'm sure it's going to be a big old fooled you at some point, but let's ride it while we got it. So,
I mean, most of running back production is opportunity.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Getting the Jamie's got the opportunity.
Absolutely. So normally we let the guests pick this next part. Do you want to do listener trades or listener questions or TradeX trades first?
Dealer's choice.
All right, let's do listener questions and we'll circle back to the trades because the trades, sure. There's a lot of trades. Okay. So we'll go to our guy Dynastud who finally came out of hiding after a couple of weeks. First question, I wanted to put this one first. How hard are you rooting for the Dodgers to avenge the Cubs? Are you Cubs Sox? Don't care.
Die hard Cubs fan. I was at, I went to three of their postseason games this year. So. Nice. Diehard Cubs fan. So yeah, I am rooting for the Dodgers. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
The thing about the Brewers, like I don't have like, I mean, I do have dislike for the Brewers, but a lot of it is just more like you look up and down their roster and it's just like, how are they getting away with this kind mm-hmm. of approach? Like they have a couple really good hitters. They have decent pitching, especially in the bullpen. But like the rest of that lineup, you're like, why am I getting beat by Sal Frelick and Chad?
I was literally about to
say, are these guys?
Sal Frelick is the guy who you look at and you're like, how did he do that throw yesterday?
I mean, Sal Frelick, Chad Durbin, Blake Perkins. Like it's just one dude after another. You're like, who is this guy and why is he beating me?
Yeah, exactly. I am also rooting for the Dodgers. Yeah.
So seeing the Dodgers kind of rub it in their face would be nice. But then again, yesterday, like the Dodgers, the way they swung, should have scored 8 runs and won by 1 run.
Right.
Yeah.
I am also rooting for the Dodgers. I am Cubs over Sox, but I don't really care. And I have some history with the Dodgers through my dad and stuff like that. So I'll root for the Dodgers. All right. Back to the football. How would you rank this season so far in terms of your dynasty, or you can just say overall portfolios, overall performance? Who are your biggest value performance winners and who are your biggest busts?
So it's interesting. Like I'm having one of my least successful dynasty seasons. I have one dynasty team that's above 500 out of 4. So that's been a frustration. It's a lot of, some of it's been bad luck, a lot of close losses, but some of it's been just injury luck. I've been missing guys. Like I have Jaden Reed on pretty much all of my teams, which, you know, losing him doesn't help. I've got one team where they don't have Ayuk. I don't have Joe Mixon. I don't have, you know, just a list of guys. George Kittle's out, you know. And so some of that's been kind of the culprit. But like I said, a lot of close losses and those teams that are probably in between. Should I be going all in or should I be kind of getting out now? But, you know, and doing a rebuild. But on the redraft side, I've had a lot of success. Most of my redraft teams have been performing really well. I've got a 6-0 team. I've got a one that's 5-1, a couple that are 4-2. Like most of them are in pretty comfortable playoff position through 6 weeks, at least on the redraft side. The guys that have been the best for me, obviously, Emeka Egbuka has been a huge piece. Yeah. I've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba on multiple teams. You know, those guys have been huge. I'm trying to think. I have Drake May on a couple teams that's really worked out well in the last couple of weeks. So those guys are guys that have really worked out. There's a couple that I would have said were busts that are starting to turn around. Stephon Diggs, the first couple of weeks was looking like a shaky pick where I'd taken him, but he's had a couple of weeks where he's come to life. So, I mean, even that one, it's hard to kind of pinpoint guys that I am super disappointed in. Evan Engram is probably my biggest miss, where a guy I took in several leagues and just did not do anything. But most of those leagues, I was able to replace him with Fannin fairly quickly.
Yep. I'm kind of the same. I've had a couple of unlucky ones. One, super unlucky. It's a 1QB dynasty. It has Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Kenneth Walker on it, and it's 500. Has no business being 500. So it's one of those that is just weird, unlucky stuff. Like Jonathan Taylor dropped 40 on my head 1 week and stuff like that. But, you know, the two TA leagues I'm competing, I'm hanging in. We'll get to some of my trades later. The ones I'm rebuilding are going perfectly. I'm pretty sure didn't have a quarterback this week in one of them. So I think my biggest values, I've always been a Dak guy. That's come out doing well so far. He had a tough start, but ever since kind of the back end of the Packers game, he's been awesome. Breece Hall, I think, has surprised some people just out, you know, last Sunday aside. I think, by the way, just for all fantasy people out there, just throw away the London game. The Giants or the Broncos play the Giants and the Jets play the Panthers. Throw that game out and we'll circle back to it next week. Trying to think. Garrett Wilson's done very well. I was big on the Jets. I said they were going to be a top 10 offense as my bold prediction. That's not going so well. Ken Walker has been my big bust, though. He's lost share basically every week, and it doesn't appear to be getting better. And I can't exactly tell what they're doing. Like, I don't know if they're trying to keep him healthy or if they just like Charbonnet more, because Charbonnet doesn't look that much better. So,
in fact, as far as efficiency metrics, I believe he's worse. I think pretty much across the board, not by a lot, but I think their run blocking in general has not been great. But Kenneth Walker, I think, is more likely to have a negative 4-yard run than Charbonnet is. Like, Walker's more likely to blow off break off a big run, but Charbonnet has a lot more of the very negative plays. Like, if he gets stuffed, he gets stuffed for 0 yards, not for negative 4.
Exactly.
But he's getting stuffed a lot, which is not
good. Yeah, he is. And he's not – the biggest thing is he's not catching passes. He had 3 catches in his first game, and he's had 1 a game since. So Walker and Pacheco are my 2 biggest fails. I thought Pacheco was going to come back and take that backfield by the balls, and he hasn't. So
yeah,
I think we're looking –
Chuba's looking like mine at running back.
Yeah, we'll get to Chuba.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to Dowdle and Chuba in one of the questions. I was going to say something and it's completely gone. I'll figure it out. Do you think the Chiefs trade for a running back, and is it Breece Hall?
I don't know that they should trade for a running back, because I don't know that they would use the running back. I think that's the problem, isn't that they don't have talent at running back. I think Pacheco, if you gave him a bigger role, would be fine. They're running the ball 10 times a game. I mean,
yeah.
They're the one team that they've been the most pass heavy team in the league in terms of, I think, pass rate over expected. I believe they're pretty comfortably number 1. And I don't think the issue is a lack of talent at running back. I think it's just you have Patrick Mahomes and you have some different weapons in the passing game. Why not use them? I don't think trading for a running back would change that all that much, or that they need to do it. I mean, you saw the offense kind of get unlocked a little bit against Detroit. I think that their offense is fine. I mean, sure, you can upgrade it, but I just don't think that they would utilize a player like Breece Hall the way we would be excited about. Like, we would get excited, oh, Breece Hall to that offense, and then he'd get 12 touches a game.
Right. I don't know where I want Breece Hall to go. He's the big name really being thrown around in trade discussions, and it'll be very fun to see where he ends up, but I was going to say Chicago, but Swift actually showed up yesterday, so who knows. But
we'll still see some flashes out of Monongai here and there, too. I think I don't know that they're going to go out and make a big splash at running back. It's not a position teams make a splash at very often, especially not in season.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of talked about this already, but we can answer it quickly. How real was the Vidal breakout game, and what are you trying to buy or sell him for at this point?
I mean, if you are trying to buy him, you better hope that the person you're buying him from is convinced that it was a one-off because he played the Dolphins. If you're trying to sell him, you should be pointing out the matchups that he has coming up that are also favorable, and the fact that Amari and Hampton is not going to be back for any of them. So I think that, to me, is what kind of stands out. I think – like I said, I think it's certainly something to ride for a few weeks. I don't think he all of a sudden is a league winner the rest of the way, because Hampton will come back and will step back into the top role at some point. But while Hampton is out, Vidal is going to be their RB1, and you might as well ride it while you can.
Trying to think in my head of who can do, who kind of covers redraft and dynasty. Would you trade Vidal for Keenan Allen, who's been down a couple of weeks?
I probably would not. I don't know that I would. I think, I mean, unless you were really strong at running back and really weak at wide receiver, I don't know that that's a move that I would make. I just think that there's too much, it's too crowded of a receiving group in LA with, you know, with McConkey, Aronde Gadsden starting to take steps forward too. Yep. There's a lot of guys in that passing game now. They probably are going to start working Trey Harrison more as the season goes on too. And they really like Quentin Johnston. I mean, it's just that collection, there's a lot of bodies, and I don't know that you're going to see Keenan Allen continue to get 7-8 targets a game the whole season.
Yeah. Would you trade Vidal for insert Browns wide receiver here, whichever one you like the most? Judy, Tillman.
Well, when is Tillman coming back?
I don't know.
Are you talking about this from a dynasty perspective, I take it?
Dynasty or redraft. It's kind of the same value right now.
Sure. I think dynasty, I'm more likely to capitalize on the run that Vidal is on and try to get a good player. I think Tillman or Judy I would take for Vidal in dynasty. I think in redraft, I'm less likely to make that move.
Yep. Okay.
Judy, like I said, Judy, I think sure, but like, I just don't see Dylan Gabriel being someone who's going to push the ball down the field to Jerry Judy.
Yeah. And they're going to Shador soon, probably.
He'll get a start at some point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Assuming Juwan Jennings is a health-related write-off for this season, which Niners pass game weapon are you buying moving forward? Is it just Kittle, or do you think we can get something somewhat consistent and reliable from Bourne? Ooh, Bourne.
I think Bourne is going to be fine until Pearsall comes back, but right. Pearsall is going to be number one when he gets
back. Which I think is this week, it sounds like.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think Pearsall's out a long time. Kittle's on the way back too. Like, if it was just Bourne and Jennings and Kittle, like, sure, Bourne can be productive. I think the more bodies you add in, the less likely Bourne is to be the guy getting the targets. He's capable when you need him to be, but he would not be your first choice if everybody's healthy. Right. You know, you certainly would prefer Pearsall, Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, who I think they're talking about maybe week 10 as a tentative target date when he might come back. So
at least they have one for him now. They haven't had one in a while for Ayuk.
Yeah. But yeah, Bourne is nice. But again, if you find someone desperate in dynasty and you can trade him for anything of value, do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If you find someone who still believes in Bourne, you should sell it right now. You should sell him right now because Pearsall and Kittle, I think, are both coming back this week. Purdy is probably coming back this week or next. Like, we're getting back to normalcy in San Francisco, which is a little funny and crazy, but we'll get back to that.
And Bourne's most productive weeks this season have come with Mac Jones under center, who he played with in New England. Correct. Right? He hasn't had one of those blow-up games with Purdy under center.
No. Now that he's had 2 out of 4 good tight end premium games, where do you rank Aronde Gadsden? You just talked about Gadsden. So what do you think of his kind of future, I guess, the rest of this year and then dynasty going forward?
The rest of this year, it's going to be, you know, what a tight end is. I mean, typically going to be hit or miss, a little touchdown dependent. I expect him to get a handful of targets each week, but I'd be surprised if it's suddenly, you know, he's second on the team in targets going forward. It's not going to be anything like that. You're still going to see McConkey and when he gets back, Quentin Johnston be the top two targets in the offense. But if he can keep getting, you know, 5-6 targets, I think when Joe Alt comes back too, and they're more willing to air out the football again and trust that they can protect Herbert, I think you're going to see his numbers maybe even spike a little. I don't believe like any of the other tight ends on that team are an impediment to him, you know, being productive. Mm-hmm. I certainly like his outlook in dynasty more than redraft. In redraft, I think he's maybe a tight end in the tight end two range, is sort of his ceiling. I don't see him as being a weekly top 12 guy. But I think in dynasty within a year or two, he could be, you know, a consistent top 12 tight end, assuming they don't bring in more outside help at the position. I think he's better than Will Dissly in the long term, which
100%.
Yeah.
I was just, as you were saying that, I'm thinking about that. What does that world look like where Gadsden in the future is a top 12 tight end? Obviously, Keenan has to leave.
Which, I mean, Keenan at his age is he going to be there?
He's going to leave, right. But
I think you're looking at a three wide receiver set of McConkie, QJ, and probably Trey Harris, and then Gadsden as the starting tight end, or Hampton in the backfield. I mean, it could happen as soon as next year, but again, they would have to continue to air out the football the way they have when everyone's healthy this year. I think those first 2-3 weeks, you saw them pass at a pretty high rate, and that's kind of come back down the last couple of weeks. If they go back to that, which you never know with Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, right? I mean, they're definitely in their heads and more ground and pound is the way you would think of them. But if they can go back and be more of that pass first offense like they were early this year, and with Justin Herbert, you can do that. Then I think there's a real chance that Gadsden can be a top 12 tight end in an offense that looks like that, you know?
Right. I think I've been in on Gadsden. I think he's going to be a fun player. He just feels like a Harbaugh guy, just a little bit, like some big athletic tight end who can block.
A parade of those guys that went through Michigan, whether it's exactly. You know, Devin Funchess, I think, played for Harbaugh at Michigan.
Yeah, probably right at the start. End. Yeah.
Funchess and Jake Butt and Colston Loveland, and now Marlon Klein was another guy who's at Michigan now that was recruited by Harbaugh. I mean, they just – all those guys – prototype, you know, big, fast, you know, more pass catching, but can also block. I mean, those are the kind of guys that come through Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What cheap startable, I can't talk, options are you targeting in trade recently if injuries have a setback, a contending lineup?
I think in the dynasty world, I'd be willing to go after a guy like Kamani Vidal, like we've been talking about. I think it's tough with certain guys because I think a player like Rico Dowdle, you don't see as a long-term answer at the position. But I don't know that somebody who has just watched him put up 200 yards in back-to-back games is going to be willing to give you a discount on him in dynasty, even though they, you know, they really should. He's not really a guy that you can trust is going to be a full-time starter. Mm-hmm. But he's been so good these couple of weeks with Hubbard out, you know, but off the top of my head, those guys, obviously Kendrick Bourne, if you can get him for a really small price is helpful. Try to think through who else. I mean,
Keenan's another one for me.
I mean, at Keenan's age though, there's just so little upside on the back of it. I mean, like Kamani Vidal, like we know that, you know, he's only got these few weeks of runway, but he's also only like 25 years old. Right.
Right.
So there could be an opportunity for him to land somewhere else where he gets playing time.
Right. I'm thinking of like contending veteran assets is kind of, so that's why I got to Keenan.
Calvin Ridley, although he's not very much fun.
Yeah, right, he's hurt and he's hurt. By the way, Evans is another one. That's one. If you're trying to compete, go get Evans because he's going to be by himself for a couple of weeks. It's gross, but Jameson Williams is probably severely undervalued, but he's had a rough year.
He looked good, against Kansas City. He was very involved in that game.
I'm just trying to think without really going dead air for too long. McLaurin's going to come back. So maybe throw something at McLaurin, although the Commanders seem to be just fine without him. That's the main ones. Bears. Yeah, they did. That was fun, though. 25-24 in back-to-back games is such a funny Bears thing.
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir is another one because Kincaid seems to be hurting a little bit. They just lost Palmer. I think we're back to Shakir getting, you know, double-digit targets. So that should be fun. All right, last question. After Dowdle's emergence as a workhorse over the past 2 weeks, is there a buy-low window on Chuba? Dowdle's contract is a one-year deal, and Chuba has signed longer term for legit money. What would you give for him right now? I'm assuming he means for Chuba. Yeah.
For Chuba. I think if I'm trying to trade for Chuba, I mean, even a second feels like it might be a lot. If you could maybe give up a second and get like Chuba and a fourth back or something like that.
Yeah.
That might be the kind of move I'd look at. The one thing he mentions, the contract for Chuba Hubbard being, you know, legit money and long-term, but it's really not. It's a lot of kind of funny money in there where after the first couple of years, after this year, they can get out of it with not that big of a cap hit. So I think it's like his signing bonus is basically all they're responsible for. And it's like $1.4 million a year or something like that. And there's 3 years left on the deal. So if they cut him after this season, it's something like $4.5 million or $4.4 million is what their dead cap hit would be. And it goes down by like a third each year. So it's not that much. If they keep him, his salary is like $8 or $9 million, or his cap hit is like $8 or $9 million, but they cut him, it's only $4.5 million in dead money. Right. So there's not really any strong impediment to them to keep them from cutting Chuba Hubbard after even this season. Right. And Dowdle, the way he's playing, like, they certainly could opt to re-sign him. I don't think either one of them have a firm stranglehold on the starting job in Carolina next year.
Right. I think when I look at the Carolina backfield, Canales basically said, you know, Rico's not our workhorse when Chuba comes back. He didn't say that exactly, but he did. And you look at what Rico's doing, he's literally cramping from how many times he's getting the ball. He can't keep this workload up. So Chuba will come back. Chuba will get his. If someone somehow thinks Rico's going to get 200 yards a game, get rid of him and get rid of him fast. And for Chuba, yeah, I think Sean's right. It's probably a second for Chuba and a piece, or add Chuba to the back end of another trade. And I don't know if we have Chuba trades on here, but if we do, that'll be interesting. But add Chuba to something where, you know, there's bigger pieces involved and try and sneak him through the door. And that's how you kind of get him. Okay. TradeX trades. TradeX leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premiums, 1.75 per tight end reception, and 0.05 per return yards in all leagues except TA1 because they'll never break. They always hold. And we don't have any TA1 trades, so we're going to move right to TA4. We start off with David Montgomery and Kyren Williams for 26 first, 26 second, 27 second, and LaQuint Allen. Like I said, we're definitely getting into contenders and rebuilders starting to separate themselves. So what do you think of this trade?
So just to clarify, these are all trades that actually happened, not just like proposed trades.
In the last week in the 11 TA leagues.
Okay. Oh, wow. I think I probably like the side with the picks a little bit better, but obviously you have to actually make good on the picks and actually pick good players. Montgomery and Kyren, like Montgomery obviously at best is going to be splitting a workload with Jahmyr Gibbs, and Gibbs is the more talented of the two. So eventually over the next couple of years, you could see that, or, you know, where Gibbs pulls away in terms of share of the workload, or Montgomery ends up somewhere else where you don't know if he's going to have the same kind of offensive line, same kind of offense. So with Kyren, with the fumbling issues that he has had at times, the fact they have Blake Corum that they've slowly started to kind of take away from Kyren's workload. It just seems like it's a matter of time, whether it's next year or the year after that, where those guys just don't have the same role they have today. Mm-hmm. So I think those are good choices. If you're trying to sell off some assets to rebuild, those are probably good choices to do it with, because they have a ton of value for the immediate future. But I think both are going to be declining within the next couple of years.
Right.
So I think I would lean towards the side with the picks. But again, it really depends on the circumstances of your team, if you're rebuilding or if you're trying to contend right now.
Right. I tend to agree. I've never been a Kyren guy. I've been more of a Montgomery guy than most, but not as definitely down on Kyren relative to consensus. I would still take the picks. And Rocky put in the show sheet that this was him. He said he was a team he was trying to compete with that just wasn't, and he tried to cash out on some pieces to start the rebuild. I think this was a good way to start. I think you got out on some old running backs and got picks and LaQuint Allen, because he had to be there. So, all right, TA6. We have Jake Ferguson for a 27 second. What do you think of Ferg? We don't have to necessarily break down this trade because it's kind of one for one, but what do you think of Ferg and how he's doing this year?
It does seem like he's taken a legitimate step forward as a player. You know, I know last year he had a ton of targets, but he just didn't score any touchdowns. We've obviously seen that change a little bit, where he's been able to get into the end zone a few times already this season. Some of that is because obviously CeeDee Lamb is out, but at the same time, like he does have an obviously strong connection with Dak Prescott, who's not going anywhere for the immediate future in Dallas. And their defense isn't going to be good for the next couple seasons. You can't trade away Micah Parsons and have a strong defense. I think it'll take them a couple years to rebuild that defense to what it could have been on, with Parsons. And so they're going to be throwing the football a lot. And I think that that bodes well with Dak still being there, with Ferguson being there. I think he's still young enough too that he can get better. You always see that late development at tight end. I think he's just a guy that I think that's a really good price to get to a second round 100%. Pick for him, especially in tight end premium, like, you know, where it's 1.75 per catch, because he's going to catch a lot of footballs.
Yeah. This is definitely underselling Jake, because I think, like you said, I think he's going to average probably, you know, 7 or 8 targets a game, even with Lamb back. And I love Jake Ferguson. I tried to get him in as many places as I could, but I didn't get him in enough places. So if I can trade a 27 second for Jake Ferguson, I'm doing that in a second. All right. We have Cam Ward and Bill for CJ Stroud.
Cam Ward and Bill Krosky Merritt. I think I prefer Stroud to Cam and Bill.
Okay.
I know, like, both quarterbacks, first of all, they don't run. So, I mean, you're not going to get any – I mean, it's all about their passing production. But Krosky Merritt, I don't know that he is necessarily a long-term answer. I mean, his competition there in Washington is Chris Rodriguez and McNichols, right? And I just don't think that, like, if you bring in an actual outside running back talent that he holds that role that he has this year, you know, that you see it with guys like Pacheco and some others who, where they're a late round draft pick who get early run, and that early run lasts a year or two, and then they wind up a backup the rest of their career, you know, and I think that's always a possibility with Bill. The same way, you know, and like I prefer Stroud over Cam just because we don't know what Cam is going to be, and we know Stroud is pretty solid. I'd rather take the known commodity there when Ward doesn't run. If Ward had some rushing upside to go with it, I probably would lean more that way, but I think I prefer Stroud.
I do too, and this feels like a really good way to consolidate assets, because I don't necessarily know if I believe in Bill. I know he's been good for these last couple of weeks. He's not perfect, and I think upgrading from Ward to Stroud is with Bill is a good trade up. So I agree.
When Eckler was healthy, at what age is Eckler now? 31. Bill had a hard time getting on the field.
Right. Yeah. It's workload, and sometimes, like you said, sometimes it's about opportunity, but. Do I believe that Bill's going to be getting this workload next year if they have another running back in the building? Probably not. So we'll have to see. All right, TA8. So to give a lot of context into TA8 before we get going, Russ Fisher went batshit insane this week. He was most of these as Russ is starting his rebuild, and he did it very successfully. But there was a lot of contender rebuilder trades here. So we'll start with the first one. And this one was me, Josh Allen for Justin Herbert, Devontae Adams, and Keenan Allen.
I mean, if you can get Josh Allen, you get Josh Allen is my attitude on that. I like Justin Herbert as a player. I think, you know, there's a lot of upside for him long-term, but Josh Allen may have another decade doing what he's doing. You know, I mean, is Josh Allen even 30?
No, I don't think so. I think he's 29, 28.
Yeah. I mean, he probably has 8 to 10 more years, and that's if he doesn't want to have like a Tom Brady play till I'm 45 career. I mean, you see it more and more now that NFL QBs go till 40 or older. I mean, Josh Allen, I don't know that he wants to play till he's 40, but I do think he's got a lot of quality years left, and I don't think that the way that he runs is something that will go away as he ages.
Yep. So I actually traded Allen away, and here's why. I have a couple top end receivers. I have Chase and Amon-Ra, but I don't have much behind it. My running backs are good. This was how I think my other QBs were, like Rodgers and Dak. I don't remember exactly. I have Darnold in one. I don't remember which one's which, but I wanted some more. This is kind of, you know, start a bunch of flexes, and I think having that receiver depth going into buys and everything was important. Did I probably undersell Allen? Yes, but chopping him up into these pieces, especially now with Puka limping around, Adams is going to be a top 12 wide receiver conservatively, and we'll see where it goes. But this is me kind of going for it, and I understand trading away Josh Allen to go for it. It's probably a little backwards, but I get Herbert to kind of cover myself a little bit, who is younger than Allen, actually. So, so Russ, I need to be careful how I say this because I think all of these were Russ, but I don't exactly remember. Whoever had Allen turned around and sold Allen for and a 27 second for C.J. Stroud and two 26 firsts. So now what do you do? Because when you, if like you said, if you get Josh Allen, you get Josh Allen. But are you are you taking this payback for Allen now?
No, I would have kept Josh Allen.
Really? Okay.
I know two firsts is big. I mean, this feels like probably about the right, the right price if you're buying Josh Allen. This feels like about where that value is. But man, I just feel like if you have Josh Allen, you keep Josh Allen.
Yes.
I'm the same. I have Lamar Jackson in one of my bigger money dynasty leagues. It's like you have Lamar, you keep Lamar.
Yes, agreed. And I think this is the right trade to get out of Allen if you wanted to. And this was Russ. I just checked. This is the way to get out of Allen if you want to get out of Allen. It's just depending on if you actually want to get out of Allen. So, but I think this is a fun trade, just because of all the pieces involved in it. Okay. And now Russ turns around and sends those two 26 first for three 27 first. So what are your thoughts in trading down? What are your thoughts in trading like down in years? Let's say, call it a trade down that way.
I think I don't mind the move, obviously, to go from two 26 first to three 27 first. Cause those 27 firsts are going to increase in value as we get closer to the 27, you know, draft, and he'll be able to get more out of those, but it certainly elongates the rebuild process when you're kicking your draft picks down a year. You know, it really, if you're in a rebuild now and you're kicking 26 first for 27, you're basically saying I'm rebuilding for the next 2 years rather than trying to do a 1 year rebuild and be able to compete in 27.
Yep.
And so like, I think, like I said, my general approach is I'm always trying to compete and I'm late to do rebuilds or don't want to do a full rebuild. So for me, I probably would rather have the 26 first, but like I said, in terms of raw value, you're going to be better off with the 327 first, because again, they're going to increase in value and be worth roughly the same as those 26 firsts each, you know? So when you have three of them over two, it's just going to end up being more value. But like I said, you're kicking the can further down the road to when you're going to compete.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it's also like view on class. And it's funny, 2027's being talked about as like the super class with Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith. And if Arch ever gets his shit together, maybe he'll be a first rounder in that too, because I don't think he's coming out in 26, not the way he's playing. So I think it's a view on class as much as anything.
I think we so often get that wrong when we're figuring it out. Yes. 2 years in advance, though. I mean, guys, especially in the NIL era where guys may stay in college longer because they're getting paid, that decision gets a little tougher for them to say, oh, I want to jump to the NFL and get paid versus go back and risk my health to play another year of college. Well, if they're going to pay me $4 million to play in college another year, I'll go do that, you know,
exactly.
It just, so those guys get kicked into the next year's class. Like, if you had asked me, you know, 3 months ago, what does next year's class look like? A huge quarterback class. And now you look at the QBs and it's like, I'm not so sure, you know,
it's still not small.
It still should, but
there's
the guys
who were supposed to be first rounders right now,
but the guys who were supposed to be at the top of that class were,
they're not there.
Drew Aller and Lenore Sellers and Arch and some of the guys, like those guys are all of a sudden falling. And the guys that are coming up are Mendoza from Indiana, or like there's a few other guys that just came out of nowhere.
Dante Moore.
Right. Reagan. Right.
Yep. And Ty Simpson out of Alabama, which if you had told me Ty Simpson was going to be a first rounder, I would have laughed in your face, which is just, it's crazy how much he's grown.
But it just goes to show you how little we know ahead of time. Like, we think we know, like, this class. So next year's class still looks stronger at quarterback than it does at this other skill positions.
Yeah.
But again, by next year, that may look a little different. The 27 class may look a little different when we get there, you know?
Yeah. I think 26 class, as of right now, because, again, we don't know anything, is probably going to be pretty top heavy. And there's not going to be a lot of depth in that class because Jeremiah Love's coming in theory. And the wide receiver class is good, not great. So, all right, we can move on. Debo Samuel for 226 seconds. This feels right for Debo for me.
I love Debo, but give me the seconds.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So why do you want out on Debo? Because McLaurin's
just his age, and we don't know like how long that their setup in Washington will look like that, where it's him and Terry McLaurin. They're both already kind of at 30 years old. You know, you're seeing some of their young guys start to take a step forward. Luke McCaffrey has taken some steps forward this year. You know, you're seeing. Yeah, I just think that. At their ages, like Debo turns 30 in January, he may only have a couple years of potential wide receiver two or better production before it kind of bottom drops out. Because we've already seen signs of it. Like, we've seen him be an up and down kind of player. Last year wasn't so great. You know, injuries seem to pop up for him every other year. You know, I tend to just he's a player I'd rather be getting out of than into at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. And if you're buying Debo, this is probably the price. But McLaurin's coming back. Ertz is kind of coming back into his own again. And the workload Debo's had has been very high. It's been very workload dependent. So when they get fully back, I don't see Debo continuing that path.
Right. I mean, even last night, it was the first time he had 4 catches for 15 yards last night.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he wasn't playing very well. It's that vaunted Bears defense. All right, back to the Russ Fisher trading spree. Roma Dunze and a 27 first for Rashee Rice, Evan Ingram, and George Kittle.
I mean, I think this really comes down to how you feel about Roma Dunze versus Rashee Rice in a vacuum. Like, which one do you like better? Because, yeah, if you like a Dunze better, then I like this move, you know, to acquire him, but I tend to like Rashee Rice better than a Dunze straight up. And I think, I mean, obviously the 27 first might be the right price, but I think Kittle still has a few years of strong production left as well. I think I would lean towards the Rashee Rice side of this trade if it's me.
So this is me, and Russ really put me in a blender on this one because I am, if you've listened to my content in the past, my motto is tight ends don't matter. And that meaning positional scarcity is not a thing. You don't need to like spend 6 first to get Brock Bowers, that type of thing. So I actually have tried to go on a little spree and tried to win without getting a tight end. And my tight end that I've started all year is Jeremy Rucker to try and prove a point. And I think I'm like 4-2, 3-3, somewhere in there, but I'm competing. I'm 4-2. And he offered me Kittle, and I'm like, you're breaking my brain because this isn't a tight end. Kittle's like a glorified wide receiver. So I have 2 tight ends now to replace my very poor core. I got Rashee Rice in exchange for Roma Dunze. I tend to agree with you that I like him more than Odunze for now. Could I be wrong? Yeah, but I think the Bears offense is going to continue to spread it around, and Odunze was very touchdown reliant in the first part of this. So we'll see where it goes from here.
I think you're going to see Luther Burden's role grow as the season goes on too.
Yep. And then the last trade is Roma Dunze and Hunter Henry for 226 first. And you can guess who made this trade. It was Russ again. So Russ was very busy today. He was clearly bored at work. So what are you doing?
I think in that deal, I probably would prefer the 226 first. I don't know that Hunter Henry I'm going to mean a whole lot after the next year or two. Adunze, again, he's a good player, but I think that just like we said, I think Burden's going to kind of come on. I don't know that Odunze is the one for the foreseeable future for that team. I think we could end up in a situation where if those guys both kind of develop where Odunze plays, I mean, if you want to mirror it to Detroit and the way that that offense was set up, where Burden is more the Amon-Ra role and Odunze is more the Jameson Williams role. Which of those roles would you rather have? Probably the Amon-Ra role, right? And so for me, like, I'll give me the two first. I just don't think that if Henry is more of a throw in, I just don't know that Odunze is worth two firsts.
Yep. So to give you some context on this one was funny. So in the Cool Kids Club, which is our Discord chat for patrons and everything, Russ put in there, would you trade Roma Odunze for 2026 firsts if you're rebuilding, or would you build around him? 5 people answered, and it was 3-2 split to the picks. So it was in succession. It was like, trade him, like, keep him, trade him, keep him, trade him, keep him. And it was like, so and I was laughing in the chat. I'm like, so we have a consensus. So I agree with probably, I said to get rid of him just because picks could be anything. You could get Roma Odunze. And
the mystery box could be anything.
It could be anything. Yeah. And he said they're kind of mid first, so there'll be something. He'll probably get right in the end of that top end draft tier. So I like the trade, and Tyler has been trying to get Roma Odunze from me since May, and he finally got him through Russ because I gave Odunze away. So everyone's happy. But that's going to be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Sean, for coming on. Hope you had fun. We'll get you back on one of these days. But before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah. Like I said, Sean Foss. I do some writing for drink5.com, but the easiest place to find me is going to be on social media, which is going to be at Sean_Foss on X and just at Sean Foss on Blue Sky.
Yeah. Our stuff at Frank in the Chat on all socials. Rocky's at Dynasty FF Addict. Patreon.com/TradeXPod. You can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, which I just talked about. You can ask trade advice like what you would do with Roma Odunze. And of course, the most important thing is Fantasy Cares. Recap shows for SFB on Tuesdays. That's actually fun fact how Sean and I met was SFB Live Draft Chicago. Trivia is on Tuesday nights with Joey Wright, and Wednesday night hang out with the most insane guillotine league that's ever been created. So we'll see how Scott takes that from there. And I think that's it. So as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pan. That is the best. See ya.